There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right. Here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Another couple hours of live local talk. Phone and text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Now, you can jot that down. You can put that in your contacts in your phone. Or better yet, if you had the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app, it's for free and waiting for you over at Google Play for Android users or the App Store for iTunes users. You would have those numbers right there. One button dialing to call, or one place to go to text, or even our talkback feature that lets you leave us a voice message. Those are all on the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app. And reminder as well, of course, the streaming of the station, 55 hours a week of podcasts going up there, news coming through our social media feeds, latest traffic, weather, all there on one app, the FM Talk 106.5 app. Don't put a point between the 6 and 5 because it confuses the masters of the universe at the social media platforms or the downloads place. So just FM TALK 1065. And check out that app. You'll see our logo. Download it and enjoy it and let us know what you think about it. But I think it's going to help you. Stay informed, and also a quick way to get in touch with us whenever you need to. All right, yeah, so like as I mentioned with Jeff, coming up on the show, I am going to dig in to this. This was news from late last week, but we were kind of in rodeo mode, and big thank you to everybody who came out and said hello at the FM Talk 106.5 van during the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Folks we get to see at the Liars Contest, and then the broadcast on Saturday, and seeing y'all around the site. I really enjoyed it, and big thank you for the JCs having us out on site again this year. Can't wait till next year, y'all. Great rodeo. Great job for the JCs. But yeah, I'll get into this this censorship story. The question about the administration looking for people that they say are spreading disinformation and getting with social media platforms and saying, hey, have you seen this person? What do you think we ought to do about them? We're going to dig into that and get a little bit of that press conference later on in the show. So that's coming up. Plus my theory about the Caitlyn Jenner campaign out in California. But we'll get to some harder information, some facts. And my favorite email every weekday morning and once on the weekend is from Alabama Daily News. And from Alabama Daily News, here's a man behind it, Todd Stacey. Hey, Todd.
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's good. It's good. And lots to talk about here. And I know you've got a mix for us today. We'll talk about some national issues. But here at home, your leadoff batter in the email this morning, I love this, who's running and who's not, because holy cow, have there been some names thrown around.
Yeah, well, look, we're less than a year out before the first primaries of the 2022 cycle, right? May 24th, that's when the Republican and Democratic primaries are for 2022. So there's less than a year, and so all these state lawmakers, every single one of them are up for re-election in 2022. So they're starting to make their mind up, right? Am I going to run for re-election? Am I going to, you know, some of them are getting primaries. We've already written about that. Or maybe call it quits, call it a career. Some, you know, some who have been around for a long time are starting to say, hey, you know what, that's enough. I'll call it a career. Some are deciding, yeah, I'll give it one more shot. So we've kind of focused on some of the more unknown people, right, some that are getting older and whether or not they will run. And so, yeah, we just wanted to keep on asking the question, who's running, who's not, what's the political landscape going to look like in 2022? And in fact, you know, down in the south part of the state, Baldwin County specifically, there are going to be a couple of interesting mm-hmm. open seats down there. As Steve McMillan is not running again, and also Harry Schauber and Bay Minette's not running again. Those are two seats that have been held for those guys sent for almost 20 years or more. So those are interesting open seats.
Yeah, and Todd, I'm wondering about this, and maybe this is obviously maybe reflexive here, because at a municipal level here in Mobile, we have more open seats for city council than I can remember. I'm not saying it's never happened, but just in recent memory, I can't. And then I look around, I hear this in the state. Is there a kind of enough of this? I mean, as you got to agree, the last 6 years probably have really changed the world of politics out there. Are there people that just had enough of it? You see what I'm saying? That maybe if the climate was different, they would be running again. But with the vitriol that's out there, they're out of it. I just wonder if this is abnormal, the number of people that are not going to run for seats.
Yeah, so I don't have enough evidence to really say for sure that, yeah, I think that's a trend. This is pretty normal, right? The people we're talking about, I mean, they're up there in age and or have just been in office for a long time. So this all started really with Del Marsh, right? Mm-hmm. Del Marsh, who was the president pro tem in the Senate for 10 years. That's longer than anybody remembers that seat being occupied. He said, "Look, I'm done." He had been in the Senate since 1996. Said, "Hey, this has been a good career, and we'll call this a season." Same thing with Mac McCutcheon, Speaker of the House. He had only been in office since 2006, yeah. But again, you know, he said he's not going to run again. And there were several other older, you know, in their 70s and 80s lawmakers who said they're going to retire. That's completely natural and normal, especially in the state legislature where it's not a career. Right.
Not for all of them.
Right. And I mean, well, they don't make enough money right. to really for sure. it to be a career. So all of them have some kind of other career. So, I mean, it's never intended really to be that long term. Then again, I mean, one of the retirees is State Senator Jimmy Holly. He's been in the legislature between the House and the Senate for more than 40 years. 44, in fact, when he finally retires. So, yes, I mean, some of them stay quite a long time. I do think if we start to see more, Sean, if we start to see, this is not a full list, but if we start to see more, uh-huh. then maybe there's something to it about what you said.
Yeah, I think, you know, age-wise, Governor Ivey's 75, 76, right? And she's mm-hmm. running again. But I see, you know, so age, I don't know, I see somebody like a Rich Wingo, 62, getting, yeah, you're right, it does take more information here to see a trend. And it's a little bit reflexive of what's going on down here, but I wonder if people are just saying, it's not like it used to be, I'm getting out.
I've heard that from some people. I just don't know if it's enough of a trend. It isn't the same as it used to be. And look, to be honest with you, that's one reason I got out of politics is just because. And that was D.C. That's a little, mm-hmm. little different. And I mean, D.C. has become truly a really difficult place to work politically. I mean, I feel bad for anybody that really tries to get things done up there because they're far outnumbered by those who just want to play politics. And so it can be frustrating. At the same time, I think, you know, Montgomery doesn't quite have that level of vitriol. Now, maybe it's getting there. And I tell you, we need more doers and fewer talkers.
Well said. And second story on the list, and we're going to tell y'all how to get this email before we wrap it up today. Second story here, states ask feds if relief funds can be used for prisons. It almost seems like I'm reading a story about a conversation that Todd Stacey and Sean Sullivan had a year ago, maybe, or right? I mean, we had this very discussion a couple times.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you that for sure we had it 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Or I guess a month and a half ago. But in June, we reported Mary Sell, who you know was our reporter, she started calling around about how the state wanted to use these COVID funds, the second batch of COVID funds, or I guess technically the third batch, the new, you know, the Biden passed batch, right? The state's going to get about $2.1 billion that is for the state to use. And unlike the previous COVID money, the CARES Act money from 2020, this money doesn't have as many restrictions on it. In fact, the government is asking the state to spend it on things like construction. Could not do that last time. And so that being the case, we reported a month ago that, yeah, state lawmakers and others were just kind of asking around, saying, hey, why not? If they're giving us all this money, we don't have COVID expenses like we used to, and they're asking us to spend it on construction, why not spend part of it on this expense that everybody knows we have, this prison expense? So credit to Brian Lyman, tip of the cap to him. He has the scoop today that the state has actually asked. They have written a letter to the federal government, to Treasury, asking if this is an appropriate use of money, which is the smart thing to do. I mean, the last thing we want to do is use it for that.
Sure.
And then somehow have to pay it back, or I don't know what consequences there would be. But it shows the state is actually serious about using some of this money for prisons.
Yeah, and you know, what I said we talked about it way back is I actually did start talking about it during the earmarked money, right, from the CARES Act, and said, yeah, well, maybe you could make a story that, or, you know, pitch it that it's about fighting coronavirus through the health facilities. But here, I agree, right thing to do is get response from Treasury, but I think they're going to get green-lighted on this, and I think this is probably the dream, right? Because this prison thing doesn't get done because it's politically unpopular. People don't want to be spending money or allocating money and being on the record for voting for it for prisons. Maybe this is their out.
Yeah, maybe so. But, you know, in any case, let's just say they do allocate money for prisons. I mean, they're still going to have to vote for it. But you're right. It's federal money. It's kind of thought of as free money. Which is, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's all of our taxpayer mm-hmm. money. But in terms of how the state, you know, a state lawmaker can say, look, we didn't have anything to do with the passage of this money. In fact, I wouldn't have done it. But we have to spend it or lose it, and we might as well spend it on this critical need that we have. So, yeah, I do think and it makes a lot of sense, just because this financing thing fell apart, this prison lease deal fell apart, and all the lawmakers complained about it anyway, or a lot of them did.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been looking for something. Man, let's find another way. And a lot of them have been open to a bond issue. I still think bonding is going to be a big part of this, but we probably get a heck of a lot better bond deal if we had, you know, several hundreds of millions of dollars we could put, you know, down on construction right now.
Yeah, I do wonder if that's why we haven't seen the special session yet on prisons that I thought would be coming, you know, earlier. I thought it was going to be maybe by July or early August. I haven't heard word of it. I wonder if they're waiting to see how much traction they can get with this before they would, you know, get that bond issue in special session.
Yeah, I think you're right. And speaking of that, I think you're likely to see a prison bond issue and a COVID money allocating session being one special session, right? I think that it makes sense for those two issues to be in one, especially if they're going to, you know, spend some money on it. You still may have a separate one for redistricting, which I think would be smart. You really don't want to intermingle those two issues, you know, be drawing districts while you're also allocating money. You know, that could get sticky.
Right.
But so, yeah, I'm hearing, you know, it could be October. It could be November. We don't really know. But I think, yeah, once they get an answer, I think if they get an answer from the federal government that, yeah, you can spend this money on prisons, then it won't take very long for there to be, you know, a plan come together from the governor and the legislature.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of my sense of this, and I don't understand all the things behind the scenes, but you would like to, knowing that this redistricting has been held up by information that, you know, we can't get it started at least till September with that, then if they got clarity back from Treasury on this, go into special, deal with the allocation, deal with the prison issue, put that to bed, and then come back because of the time frame, you know, as soon as you can, but it's delayed by this information, and do the redistricting then, even though it's going to be pushed up against that November deadline. Got Todd with us? Okay, well, tell you what, let's run to the break. We'll come right back. More with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. I don't know what happened, but it looks like here. Thank you, Internet. Maybe the White House called for my Internet to be shut off. I don't know. Still got the terrestrial thing for right now. So, come right back. More with Todd.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. 12:25. David, that's funny because David, all the years being part of this radio station, listening, knows that for years I've said, hey, the state of Alabama always seems to, in the nick of time, find money, whether it's federal government, it's BP money, it's now coronavirus. But we're up in a pinch and we find money like, you know, you find that $50 bill Aunt So-and-so gave you. It's in the jacket pocket. You put the jacket up and didn't check it. And you go, oh, wow, we got money. Dave said that the state of Alabama gets permission to use the stimulus money to build new prisons. Could you say the state of Alabama found another $20 bill in its suit pocket for a problem it was fixing to over, it was fixing to overwhelm it again? David, there's a little bit of that. Todd, what do you think? I mean, is this miracle manna from heaven?
That's pretty good. It came along at just the right time. I think the prison problem is something we can afford to fix. I mean, even if we had to float, you know, $1 billion bond issue, we can afford that. You know, we're not in dire financial straits. But this money from, you know, these pennies from heaven, if you will, really helps out. If we get, and there are other uses for this, right? They're gonna find some other uses for it. I would imagine more school construction and more focus on mental health. I mean, there are other ways that they can spend this money, but if the feds are asking us to spend it on construction and we've got this construction need, why not try?
Yep. And it's and then whatever, you know, I mean, if they allocate some portion of it, maybe it's a hybrid, right? Some of that money goes and then they bond out a smaller amount, you know, to right. put with it. It's 50-50, 60-40, 70-30. I don't know what they come up with, but maybe something like that. We'll see. And while we're talking about building things, just got about 2 minutes here. What's going on in Washington today? Infrastructure, where are we?
It's a key week for infrastructure, you know. Chuck Schumer, who's the majority leader, he has set a deadline for Wednesday for, hey, let's get this, whatever infrastructure plan we're going to do, let's get them finalized. And you've got, on one hand, the bipartisan deal that about 10 Republicans are involved in working on. That one costs $1 trillion and is about infrastructure, roads, bridges, trains, all that kind of thing, ports. And so they're still working. They would like more time, but on the other side, you've got the Democrats on the go-it-alone approach. Their infrastructure package is $3.5 trillion, and this goes way beyond infrastructure into climate change and education and expanding Medicare and all this kind of stuff. And that's the one that they don't need, or they think they don't need 60 votes for. So it's going to be a really interesting week. He's obviously trying to put pressure on the Senate to get something accomplished. And if I'm a Republican on this bipartisan team, and I see them coming down the pike with, you know, a unilateral $3.5 trillion plan, I've got to ask myself, what are we really doing?
There we go. Well, we will we'll be asking, and of course people down here will be asking, hey, how about money for the bridge? But it's a discussion for another day. Discussion for another day. All right. Do this. Somebody who has yet to sign up for your email, how do they do it?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click sign up at the very top. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. We'd be glad to have you as a subscriber.
Always enjoy our conversations, and we'll check back with you real soon.
All right, man. Be good.
Hey, you too. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. All right, coming back, I've got some open phone lines for you at 343-0106. Probably in the process of the day. If you see everything as binary in the world, black and white, when it comes to the viruses and mask overreach or underreach by the federal government, if everything's binary, I'm going to tee you off and make you happy sometime in the next hour. So stay right here. And I'd love to hear from you, too. 343-0106. News next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah. 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. We shall say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM. And I know we got a fresh week to work with, and that means a discussion of inventory, Larry.
We got a great inventory, Sean. You know, as we talked last week, we got a bunch of cars, we got SUVs, we got trucks, two-wheel drive, four-wheel drives, you know, we got extended cabs, we got crew cabs, so we got a great mix of cars, you know, imports and domestic, so we got a great selection.
All right, let's talk about that selection of financing as well. That's always a part of our discussion.
It's really awesome. Like I said, we told the other day that we got a first-time buyer with very limited credit, 3%. On a 60-month contract.
Nice. And that means big money over the life of a contract. If you could, you know, think about that in the long term, that's a reason to shop those rates.
Thousands of dollars saved.
All right. Let's talk about coming and seeing that inventory, talking financing, just finding y'all at LCM Motor Cars.
Highway 90 at Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, Larry Kirby checking in from LCM Motor Cars, and we'll get to some of these calls. I want to play a couple clips here first, too, to kind of set this up. And so this conversation going out there about the Delta variant, and I've been telling y'all for a couple weeks, right, that this is a thing that's going around. It is getting people, and now beyond, adding to my anecdotes, and those of you that maybe have, well, say it this way. Remember, I was supposed to be out this week, okay? Does that tell you something? But this Delta variant, knowing people now specifically, and I'm not talking like I'm not a scientist or anything, I'm just, you know, some hayseed here from the Gulf Coast, but I know that people that are close to me that have been vaccinated, Pfizer and Moderna vaccine, okay, both of those, and I'm not including Johnson & Johnson because I don't know anybody that had Johnson & Johnson that got it. So, but maybe by the end of the week I do, that have gotten the Delta variant of COVID. All right. So it is, of course, the story is that it reduces the symptoms, decreases them. We hope so. But there is, you know, you got a situation here where you have a variant now that is getting past the vaccine and getting people sick as well. And I think this may be something that is maybe not as shocking as it was last year, because we have some hindsight, right? We have some knowledge of how this, what happens, how this works, how to navigate these things, so it makes it a little less scary. But in this discussion coming around this latest surge is the reason why the government should be able to limit information, limit what people say out there on social media platforms. I was mentioning that with Jeff earlier. This is a clip. This is a press conference from last week. Here's Jen Psaki, and she's answering a question about Facebook and what the administration does with Facebook, looking at accounts that they say are spreading misinformation about COVID and COVID vaccines, and then what actions they're taking there. Let's go to clip one.
Young people, old people, kids, children, this is all being, a lot of them are being impacted by misinformation.
Right, this is, we're on the wrong clip here. Let's get to the first clip. I think that may, how did I mess that up? Let's go to, do we not have the first clip? It's going to be one of those days. Here, let me roll it from here. I've got it here. Y'all, this is where we have some Googling music here, Paul. Can I get some? It's a Letterman joke. All right, here we go.
Profiles looking for...
Okay.
But certainly the Chinese providing information, being a participant in the process, would aid the effort.
And then speaking of misinformation and the announcement from yesterday, for how long has the administration been spying on people's Facebook profiles looking for vaccine misinformation?
Well, that was quite a loaded and inaccurate question, which I would refute.
How?
Well, Peter, first of all, as you know, we're in a regular touch with a range of media outlets.
And
we are in regular touch with social media platforms. This is publicly open information, people sharing information online, just as you are all reporting information on your news stations.
Okay, so these 12 people.
Just for a second, before we go any further, come on. I mean, who wants the job as press secretary for any president? I don't know. But that spin right there, And so it's inaccurate because we talk to different people. So it's okay that we talk to the social media platforms. That's fine, but that was not the question that was asked. Let me point out. Okay, go ahead.
Who you have on a list, 12 individuals. Do they know that somebody at the Surgeon General's office is going through their profile?
I'm happy to get you the citation of where that comes from. There's no secret list. I will tell you that these are people who are sharing information on public platforms on Facebook, information that is traveling, is inaccurate. Our biggest concern here, and I frankly think it should be your biggest concern, is the number of people who are dying around the country because they're getting misinformation that is leading them to not take a vaccine.
All right. So I want to get to that part first. So I deal with this a lot of times. What was it? It was last week when I was talking to Dale Leash, and they were talking about the doubling down in the Stimson administration on the litter program that I support. I support, you know, fighting litter in our city, cleaning up our city. But they said there was some allocation of money to do an education program about littering. And I just had to stop and said, who doesn't know that littering is wrong? Right? Who doesn't know that littering is wrong? Most people do. Now we have to change behavior. But so for Jen Psaki to turn around here and say that people can't make up their own minds because there's some people on Facebook that are saying, now you can go on there and say, you're a fool, you're inaccurate. This idea that you have to ban information, I let people every day come on and have opinions that are different than mine because that's what makes discourse. That's how you figure things out. But Jen Psaki is saying, what's more important? Us, because she admits in so many words there that the administration is putting the heavy hand on Facebook. And by the way, now this new program, too, they talked about today, where if you'd be banned from one social media platform, they feel like the administration feels like it should apply to all other, like, you know, it sends out a ping or something. If you're banned from Facebook, then you get banned from Twitter or TikTok, whatever goes on over there, Instagram. So you can't put pictures. It should go on. But because it's basically for the children argument, right? I've always told y'all, when you hear that argument, it's for the children to be suspicious. And that is the argument here. You're telling me, Press Secretary Jen Psaki, you're telling me that there are legions of Americans that the only piece of information they're putting in their decision, whether they get vaccinated or not, is what they saw on a Facebook post. Really? I mean, it's almost like I feel about that litter thing. Like, oh, we got to tell kids that littering's wrong. Littering's, they know it's wrong. Do we have to have a class? Do we have to have Louis the litter bug to tell them that? It's right. So, I mean, for Jen Psaki to say, well, so if we were going to be putting the heavy hand of the administration, in other words, the government dictating what can be out there and not out there on these platforms, we'd be doing it because it's for the children. It's for the people. There's all these people that aren't getting vaccines because of a Facebook post. Come on. All right. There's more from that presser, and we'll get some comments that were recorded from President Biden as well in a second. Paul's been holding on the longest here in Mobile. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Sean. I know you're a pretty smart guy, and I've got a couple, two or three degrees myself. I'm curious, what's the difference between misinformation and fake news? The difference is just the presidency?
Yeah, it is fake. I think it's all the same, but it's the definition of misinformation. I want to get into that in a little bit because, and I think Ducey asked that in that interview or in that question, said, hey, you know, Fauci was saying all these things that back then were fine, but now we know are not true. Now, was that misinformation? Or how about the Wuhan laboratory idea that would have gotten you kicked off a social media platform last year, but now even President Biden's saying that's a possibility. So who are we to say who is the purveyor of information out there? Because they say, well, it's damaging. To whom and why?
I just remember about 4 to 6 years ago that our president was talking about all this fake news that was going about, and it sounds so similar to what we're hearing now that this president's talking about misinformation. It correlates one to the other.
It's rebranding. You're saying it's the same thing with a new name.
That's what it looks like to me.
There you go, Paul. Appreciate your call. Let me go to George in Mobile next. Hey, George.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm good, man. So you want to talk about the vaccine?
Want to talk about the misinformation. I think the reason you have the misinformation is because it happens in multiple locations. And I will correct you here for just a second. a few minutes ago, you made the statement. You said, oh, the Delta virus
variant
is getting around the vaccine. The vaccine, and I've had to say this in multiple areas, the vaccine was never going to keep you from getting COVID.
Well, let's say this.
It's designed to give you a less severe type of COVID so that you don't end up on a ventilator and you may not end up having to go to the hospital.
George, let me stop you for a second.
People hear this and they think, okay, you know, now I know Joe had the vaccine and he's got the Delta variant or he's got COVID. You know, I thought, you know, that vaccine didn't help at all.
Right.
Well, maybe he did get COVID, but he's not in the hospital.
Okay. So let's go back a couple things, George, because I mean, I think we're somewhat on the same page. And if, you know, go back and listen to the podcast from last week, that's exactly part of what I said. But the other thing is they did, and I had a weekly guest epidemiologist on the show for months and months and months and months and months. We had long form discussions about this. It was designed to do both. It was designed to block somebody from getting the virus. At the same time, if they did, like you said accurately, to minimize the condition. And in my anecdotal world, and I am hip deep in this right now, brother, that I know people that have had the vaccine, that have had the cases. Here's the problem. I'm going to say they're lesser cases. It didn't hit them as hard. Of course, we'd have to have that time machine from Back to the Future to go back and rerun it with them without the vaccine. But it has seemingly lessened their condition. They've gotten better faster. They haven't gotten as sick. But it did, and it was purported for a lot of people when they said a 96% efficacy rate. Involved in that were people who would never get it or people that would have lessened conditions. It wasn't all or one. So for what I had said earlier, you're right in calling to correct me, but you didn't hear what I had said last week, which is exactly that. There's both going on here. Now, I don't want people not to get the vaccine. Okay, I think people should have the free choice to get the vaccine. But
I've had the vaccine myself.
Right.
I mean, I've had it since February.
Well, you were an early adopter. You beat lots of us. But I mean, right. So, but when they come out and the federal government says, and through Jen Psaki says, hey, listen, this misinformation is out there. And the reason, even after denying that they had anything to do with it, then turning around and saying, well, we kind of maybe did, because people won't get the vaccine if we allow these people on Facebook. I think that's poppycock. I think people don't just get one person on. There's a few out there. I may have some of them as scholars, but a few that do that. But the majority of folks aren't going to have their full opinion whether to get the vaccine or not, you know, determined on what somebody said on a Facebook post. I would hope not.
Well, I agree with that.
And that's what she was saying. She was saying, well, if we were using this power, not saying we are, if we were using this power, what would you rather have? People not get the vaccine because they saw somebody on Facebook post against it? I mean, that's so simplistic and myopic of if you believe that.
Yeah, but you also have to go and look at how many people actually get all their news from a Facebook or something like that.
How many is that, though? I mean, I can say that, too. I can say, you're right, George, but I don't know. I don't know that number's that big. Are there people out there that don't look at anything else other than Facebook?
I think that number's pretty large now.
I would hope I have no way to prove you're wrong.
Cut the cable and get most of their information from their phone, and this person said that, and that person said that. And I mean, you know, like I said, I do think that they probably get fed a lot of news stories from this person and that person. Now, whether they're all accurate or whether they're reading, you know, some gateway pundit here or Babylon B, and they can't decipher which is real and which isn't. I mean, you know.
Maybe we need critical thinking class in school. You know what I'm saying? So the best vaccine for all that would be people have critical thinking skills. Then you could read anything without danger. You could read it and then go, does that fit in with the other information? Does that seem logical? Right?
All right. Well, you have a good day.
All right. George, I appreciate you, man. All right, we'll grab some more calls here in just a second and get your and I want to get the other part of this back and forth with Jen Psaki last week. I mean, that they will decide today, and also, what is the danger of limiting conversation, limiting different ideas? Even if you disagree with them, you limit the possibility that you could be wrong and they could be right. If you, we can go Bible on you here, right? Remember that one sword sharpens the other thing? Why do you want to take away the other sword? Because you're scared.
This This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so survey says, and the survey coming from the text line at 343-0106, they think, although is this, that a lot of y'all think there's people or know people that get no information from anywhere other than Facebook. Here you go. You want to send a, here's how I get myself in trouble. So if I'm elected president, those people will lose their right to vote. Day one, if that's the only place they get their information. There you go. So come at me now. Texter said, unnamed Texter, I'm all for freedom of choice, but haven't met one unvaccinated person who didn't quote from some form of false information in reference to the reason to forego the vaccine. So yes, it's an issue. The spread of false information is robbing people of having the true ability to actually make an informed decision. Okay. Because there's, and I hear what you're saying, unnamed Texter, but there's other information out there, right? That I want it all out there in the forum, and you go using critical thinking and logic to get the information and parse through the other so I don't limit somebody else's First Amendment rights. Now, let me balance that with the fact that I've got Ricky in a text tirade here, but the last thing is Ricky said the Black Death is coming and we want, instead of won't, be able to bury the dead bodies. That's possessive, not plural, Ricky. It will take years. Well, you know, and they got it done during the bubonic plague, right? And Ricky, the benefit is you're worried about, which I think is a rightful thing to be worried about, the middle class and the lack of earning power or spending power the middle class has. The Black Death in Europe, Ricky, was a fantastic mechanism for building wealth in Europe because there were so many people, right? Such a densely packed Europe, when they couldn't figure out those fleas and what was happening, that so many people died that left way fewer people that had then bigger land holdings because they were the only heirs left, or bigger fortunes. Because so it, you know, Ricky, I mean, you got to figure out which, if you're worried about income, I mean, if it's the Black Death, if the bubonic plague is going to hit again and do that to us, then you're going to, you know, raise people's income out there. All right. Yeah, somebody else here, Supermom says there are people out there that get 100% of their news from Facebook. Sad thing is they'll only read the header and take it as gospel. Leo says, don't forget the original intent of the China flu was to allow massive fraud on the presidential election. So some people would get mad that I would read that from Leo because they would say, well, that's misinformation. But that's Leo's opinion. I may disagree with that part. I am, you know, I'm in this place where, you know, I'm not here to make buddies with everybody. I think 50% of that is correct. I mean, I think if you're not looking at China and the Wuhan lab and their culpability in this, then you're foolish. At the same time, was it a plan just to influence the election? I think that's too much of a, maybe, but it's too much of a novel. It's too much of a, like, a, it's even too sexy for me, Leo. Dan says, oh, because cable news is more reliable. No. Did I say that any of them are reliable? I think there are reliable stories out there. And we come back from the break because I run out of time here. Get some more of these texts and then get more from this discussion with Jen Psaki. And we'll hear from President Biden, too, saying that Facebook is killing people. This idea that because the virus, because now here you go, Leo, here's one. I think they're going to use the virus to some degree, not that they don't care, but they're going to use the virus to some degree to say, listen, this is more important. Just like the reason we can't get certain pieces of information as citizens, right? They'd love to share the information with us, but somebody could get hurt. Well, maybe that's what's going on here, right? At least that argument. Be right back.